Welcome, councillors. Please be seated. I'd like to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website. Under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulations, people may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. I'd also like to remind councillors and the other people attending the meeting that the fire exits are to the rear and the side of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned for this evening. Could I also ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting isn't disturbed? I'd also like to remind councillors that when they speak, they are required to stand, if they are able to do so, to address the meeting. This is a requirement of our constitution. I'll now ask my chaplain, Wendy Dalrymple, to say prayers. Wendy.
Thank you. I thought I would take this evening as our theme for our little reflection before the meeting starts, Her Majesty the Queen. Not because of her COVID news, for which I'm sure we all send her our best wishes and are delighted that through the wonder of scientific medicine and research we have these marvellous vaccines, but because, of course, we are now well and truly into the Platinum Jubilee year, having marked her ascension to the throne on the 6th of February. I suspect that for each of you, as ward councillors and collectively as a borough council, there are many meetings going on, planning and discussions. How might we mark this auspicious occasion in our communities? It is a really joyful occasion, is it not? A really historic one. Some of you, I suspect, will remember previous jubilees. I won't ask who might remember the coronation, but all of us have memories connected to Her Majesty. And what better way to bring people together, to come together across our diversity and celebrate our communities with the Platinum Jubilee. Just up the road at the historic Parish Church of Loughborough, the Mayor will be joining us in a couple of weekends' time with his trowel to help us plant 1,000 snowdrops, part of our commemoration, and to bring people together and do something that will last for future generations. Whether you yourself are an ardent royalist or an arch republican, I don't meet many people who don't have a deeply held respect, affection, and a good sense of our current monarch. She does, after all, represent and exemplify that old-fashioned word of public service and duty. She also, having reigned for so long, represents something of stability in our nation. Prime ministers come and go, but in a constitution such as ours with a hereditary head of state, we have a figurehead who embodies something of our national story. For me, as an Anglican priest, she is also sort of my boss in a loose way, for she is the head of the Church of England. Her Majesty doesn't hide her Christian faith, the faith from which she draws her values that shapes her sense of service and public duty. But in being head of the Church of England, she, of course, also allows people to recognise the part that religion plays of every creed in people's lives. People of religious faith matter across our nation. People of religious faith draw from their religious faith to look after their communities. The running of food banks, being good neighbours, caring for their local environment. From temples, gurdwaras, mosques and churches, people of religious faith believe that public service matters. Of course, it's not just the preserve of the religious, and I know you wouldn't expect me to say that or assume that. but in Her Majesty we have someone who draws on her faith as a model and as the values which marks her public duty. So this evening I'd like to use the prayer that comes from the Book of Common Prayer, a text forged in the 16th century, a time of great religious division and turmoil. It's the prayer that comes when we mark the Ascension Day service, a prayer that has been used for every incumbent previous to Her Majesty and will be used in generations ahead. But before I say these words, I invite you in silence to give thanks in whatever way is suitable for you, for all those who draw on their religion, their values, to be public servants of their neighbours and of their communities. O God, who providest for thy people by thy power, and rulest over them in love, vouchsafe so to bless thy servant our Queen, that under her this nation may be wisely governed, and thy church may serve thee in all godly quietness, and grant that she being devoted to thee with her whole heart, and persevering in good works unto the end, may by thy guidance come to thine everlasting kingdom, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Thanks very much, Wendy. The first item on the agenda is apologies for absence. Apologies have been received from councillors Simon Bradshaw, Julie Bradshaw, Baldwin, Gerard, Hunt, Popley, Radford, Tillotson, Beverly Gray, Lowe, Needham, Ward, and Honorary Alderman Bush, Stott, and Tormey. Are there any other apologies? No? Okay, well, let's move on then to item two. Item two is disclosures of personal interests. I'll now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interests to the business to be considered at this meeting, which have already been made by councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have the following declarations of interest for the council meeting on 21st of February 2022. They are all personal interests and all for item 6.1. Councillor Barclay as a member of Leicestershire County Council and Syston Town Council. Councillor Charles as a member of Thurcaston and Cropston Parish Council. Councillor Howe as a member of Birstall Parish Council. Councillor Forrest as a member of Leicestershire County Council and Syston Town Council. Councillor Fryer as a member of Leicestershire County Council. Councillor Grimley as a member of Leicestershire County Council and a member of Leicestershire Combined Fire Authority. Councillor Lowe as chair of Thurmaston Parish Council. Councillor Radford as a member of Leicestershire County Council and Shepshed Town Council. Councillor Seaton as a member of Leicestershire County Council. Councillor Shepherd as a member of Leicestershire County Council. And Councillor Taylor as a member of Leicestershire County Council.
I've got a couple more.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So also Councillor Jewel Mear as a member of Leicestershire County Council. And this may be a duplicate, but Councillor Sandra Forrest as chair of Barrow Bonsall Parish Council as well. Do I have any further declarations from the floor, please?
Councillor Borland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can I declare 6.1 as a member of Leicestershire County Council, and also 6.1, my wife is a member of Thurmaston Parish Council.
Councillor Borland.
Mr. Mayor, declaration under 6.1 as a member of Leicestershire County Council. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a Vice Chair of Barrow Ponsor Parish Council on the 6.1 ethics. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, likewise, 6.1 for Thurmaston Parish Council, please.
And Councillor Pacey.
Yes, a member of Syston Town Council on 6.1.
And Councillor Hadji Nicklau.
Thank you, Chair. Declaration 6.1, member of the County Council.
And Councillor Seaton.
you. I remember the county council, but I'm a parish councillor as well. Thank you for Thurmaston.
Anybody else?
May I also draw members' attention, please, to the requirements set out on the agenda with regards to voting and interest relating to the setting of the budget and the council tax precept at item 6.1 on the agenda. Section 106 of the Local Government Finance Act 1992 requires that a councillor who owes arrears of council tax which have been outstanding for more than 2 months must declare this at any council meeting which considers the setting of a budget and the council tax, and that they should not vote on those matters. Failing to comply with those requirements, if they apply, is an offence. If this applies to any councillors at this meeting, they are therefore advised to make the required declaration and leave the meeting during consideration of item 6.1. It is a requirement of the council's code of conduct for members that the existence and nature of all personal interests must be disclosed. Therefore, in the case of 6.1 on the agenda, it is suggested that members of precepting authorities declare such interests. For example, this would relate to members of the county council, combined fire authority, and parish and town councils. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Item 3 is minutes of the previous meeting. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the council held on the 17th of January 2022 be confirmed and signed as a correct record. Councillor Smidovitz.
I second this minute.
Thank you. Does anyone wish to raise anything on the accuracy of the minutes? If so, please state the minute number. Okay, since no issues have been raised, I take this to signify that the minutes are accepted as a correct record. I'll sign these and archive them with the Demographic Services Manager. The next item is item 4, announcements. I have the following announcements. I'd like to welcome two new councillors to the council, Councillors Anne Gray and Beverly Gray. Beverly Gray sadly can't be with us this evening, who were elected to represent the Shelthorpe ward at the by-election held on the 20th of January. Congratulations to you both, and welcome to the council. I now wish to offer my... Yeah, sure. I now wish to offer my condolences to the family and friends of former councillor Brian Henman, who served the borough as the mayor between May 1988 and May 1989, and who recently passed away, unfortunately. Brian was very active in the community and served as a councillor between 1980 and 1999, and a parish councillor in Barrow-upon-Soar for more than 25 years. Brian's funeral service was held on Friday the 18th of February. I also wish to offer my condolences to the family and friends of former councillor Janet Harris, who represented the Sileby ward from 1991 to 1995. As a mark of respect, councillors, I now ask that we all stand to observe a 1 minute silence to remember Brian Henman, a former mayor, and Janet Harris, a former borough councillor. Okay, thanks very much, everyone. I call on the leader to make his announcements. Councillor Morgan.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. I have no announcements this evening.
In that case, we move to item 4.3, Chief Executive's announcements. I call on the Chief Executive to make his announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
The next item is item 5, petitions. Does anyone have a petition to present? No? Okay. In that case, over to item 6, business reserved to council. Item 6, point 1 is 2022-23 general fund and HRA revenue budgets and council tax. Can I draw everyone's attention to the peach-coloured supplementary report published this afternoon, which should be on your desks, along with the report of Cabinet and the other supplementary report recently published. To enable the Council to adopt a general fund revenue budget and a housing revenue account, HRA budget, for Charnwood Borough Council. Due to the timings of the Borough Council and County Council meetings, I'm afraid it's necessary to defer approval of the council tax levy calculations for 2022-2023 to ensure that approvals are in line with legislative requirements. This report asks the council to make the substantive decisions in respect of its own budgets for 2022-2023. Therefore, we've needed to call an extraordinary council meeting that will be scheduled for the 1st of March 2022, and that's been called so that the levy calculations for 2022-23 can be approved. The levy calculations are an arithmetic exercise to aggregate the total council tax billings based on the approved precepts of the County Council, the Police, the Combined Fire Authority, Town and Parish Councils, as well as the Borough Council. At this point, may I remind councillors that it is actually a legal requirement that all votes taken on this item, including votes on amendments, must be recorded votes. There is also another slight difference in the procedure for this item, in that in addition to the normal rules for the length of speeches, one member of the Conservative group and one member of the Labour group has the right to speak for 5 minutes rather than 3 minutes in debating the budget. It would be helpful if the councillors exercising the right to speak for 5 minutes, bear in mind there's only one of you, and councillors proposing amendments could indicate that they are doing so at the beginning of their speech. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item. Councillor Barclay.
Mr. Mayor, to ensure the necessary finance is available to carry out services in 2022 to 2023, and to set the council tax, I move recommendations 1 to 15 on pages 4 to 9 of the peach-coloured supplementary report. The reasons for each of the recommendations which are set out on page 10 of the peach-coloured supplementary report. I will also exercise the right to speak for 5 minutes.
Councillor Morgan.
Mr. Mayor, I second this and reserve my right to speak.
Okay, if any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hands. Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll exercise the right for 5 minutes, but I might not go that long. I'll start. It's odd that we're approving the council tax, or I should say the budget, without the council tax itself being approved. But we are where we are, and we'll meet next week, and we'll get it finalised. There is no doubt that our residents are going through a tough time, Mr. Mayor, both with the ongoing pandemic and financially too. And unfortunately for us all, things are about to get a lot tougher. Charnwood residents are seeing their finances being squeezed by increases in their gas and electricity bills, increases in their food shop and the cost to fill up their cars, increases in bus and train fares, increases in taxes on their wages, and to top it all off, this Conservative run council want to increase the amount of council tax they pay and the rent our social tenants pay. Whilst also increasing charges on services such as bulky waste collections and green garden bin collections that residents must pay for in addition to their council tax, it's like adding wood to the fire. At this moment in time, it seems that the council isn't here to help our residents, but to fleece them for every penny it can. But what else should they expect from the Conservatives? After all, they are the party of higher tax. The budget before us is evidence. Council tax up, and over the past decade, persistent council tax increases and correlating reductions in direct central government grants has meant residents are paying proportionately more for their council services through their council tax, something that is becoming increasingly noticed. You can't go on increasing taxes and think residents won't notice. The party opposite Mr. Mayor has been in charge since near 15 years, 2007, and every year they stick up council tax. Every year, tax, 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 take, take, take. And every year they plead poverty. They can't go on. They can't go on unless they raise council tax. The government, their government, they can't go on unless they, sorry, their government isn't giving them enough funding. They are spending money from reserves to balance the books. If we hear that every year. Each year the same excuses, and they think that we can't see through this sham. While all the time they are reducing council services, increasing charges, increasing council tax, and leaving Charnwood residents the poorer and worse off for it. Reductions are listed in this very budget. Appendix A6, Mr. Mayor, in case somebody opposite has the cheek to stand up and say that no services have been cut. This budget proposes less money to essential service partners such as the bridge, Ferron Hall and Gorse Covert. It scraps a community hub in Thorpe Acre, something I know residents would have preferred to have delivered. After all, which community area in the borough wouldn't like to have a centre where residents could meet, get services and help from? It cuts the time our customer services are open and available to residents and members of the public. At the end of 2021, Mr. Mayor, the net service expenditure was 19.4 million. This budget today proposes a net service expenditure of 17.2 million, a 2.2 million reduction, an 11% decrease in the space of 2 years. Some of it will be due to increased charges and income, but over half of it is from service cuts. This isn't a sign of a council coming out of the pandemic, widening its services to help its residents, Mr. Mayor. Instead, it's a sign of a council tightening its belts and cutting back essential services. I will be voting against this budget, and I urge everyone else to do the same. Thank you.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's a little bit difficult for Councillor Mir to substantiate his allegation that the Conservatives are the party of higher taxes. If you look at where Charnwood stands in the league table of council tax, take council tax D, we're actually the 24th lowest in the country. And if you look at all of the ones that are at the top of this league table, every single council is controlled by the Labour Party. So if you actually live in Charnwood, last year council tax D-band, you were paying £154. If you lived in Labour-controlled Ipswich Council, controlled by the Labour Party, you were paying £377, which is 2.5 times more than you would actually pay in Charnwood. So Charnwood's council tax charges are amongst the lowest in the country, yet we are maintaining services, and I think that's something that we should be proud of, Mr. Mayor.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs of the council tax and the increases and what else we could have done. But I am going to point out that we did have a budget scrutiny committee, a panel, that I was a member of. And not one recommendation came from the opposition party. Not one. So I can only draw from that they were quite satisfied with that conclusion of the budget. And I find it incredulous to think that they're sitting there now and saying they're not going to support it when they're part of the panel that could have put some sort of recommendation through. Probably wouldn't have been a recommendation that was acceptable, but not to put one through, it's just unforgivable, really, and then to argue against it. That's all. Thank you.
Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is not a good budget for the residents of Loughborough or Charnwood, and again, it's disappointing that we actually have no introduction from the mover or the second of such important reports. Jobs will be lost, services lost, and now clearly obvious to the outside world. Council tax and rents increase and charges to such an extent they are in fact stealth taxes, Mr. Mayor. The HRA, 4.1% rent increase. 1,468 tenants do not receive benefit. Hardly anything done to their properties for years now, Mr. Mayor, well before the pandemic due to previous contractors. Next, the bridge. It will lose its entire grant. At risk, particularly the round-the-clock housing support, the ability to offer crisis intervention. The bridge is being forced to move, change into a hybrid model, and it will mean more pressure on the council, not helped by its reduced opening hours and shut for lunch culture. Bulk collection. Head of service report to scrutiny last November stated in the first full year, income was 173,000. Tonight, another 50,000 is being added. These changes were challenged by Labour members, more fly tipping and the effect on those on low income. Councillors were reporting items being disposed of in line, not disposed of in line with the new policy days after its introduction. As a result, HRA budgets have rocketed. I don't know how many councillors know, but if in 2018 the HRA account was 42,000 for removing such items, in 2022 up to date, that budget is now spending 129,000, Mr. Mayor. Talk about the left hand not knowing or worse, helping the right hand. Next, brown bins. Another 360,000 being added to the 1.4 million that was received last year. Next year, legislation will stop councils charging for this. Then there's the increase of burial charges, 10,000. Despite an appeal for the matter not to be delegated, this reasonable request was dismissed. To sum up, Mr. Mayor, 12 years of Conservative cuts to public services.
Councillor Draycott. Sorry, your time's up. I'm sorry. Your time's up. Okay, thank you. Councillor Borland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think probably fair to say that there are very few, if any, Conservatives that get elected to office in order to raise taxes. We are the party of low taxes, that's my belief. But we're also the party of responsibility. And the reality of the finances is a difficult one. I don't think anyone would shy away from that, which is why what we're talking about today is 9p a week increase in our portion of the council tax. I would rather not have to do that, but a responsible council sometimes has to look at the financial situation as it is. Now, if we look at what services that Charnwood does offer for that, a lot of the members opposite will run Charnwood down, but I think we're a very good council. Actually, the services we provide in terms of waste collections, recycling, the standard of our parks in Loughborough, the leisure facilities, and many, many other things that that the public gets for the council tax they charge. I think that needs to be put out there, and I think it needs to be for the record that we are a good council. And we are run responsibly. The Leader of the Opposition says that the Labour Group will not support the budget, so I assume there is an alternative proposal coming forward. I haven't seen it tabled yet, but presumably if you don't support it as a party that seeks to be the administration, you have alternative ideas for what you're going to put forward. So I look forward to hearing those, presumably in a few minutes, because If that's not the case, then what we're talking about is very easy tonight, but it's very easy to say we would do things differently without putting those ideas forward. So if you wouldn't support this budget, what would you support? Would you keep the council tax as it is? And if so, be honest about that and say what services you would cut. If you would cut no services whilst keeping the council tax at the current level, then what you're talking about is an irresponsible budget that would run Charnwood financially into the ground. So I think it's very important that we put out there exactly what the situation is. We are the party of responsibility first and foremost, and we are running a very good council, and I'm proud of it.
Does anyone else wish to speak? Okay. Councillor Morgan.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for the councillors who contributed. I'd like to thank Councillor Mercer for pointing out the current tax position as a former resident of Ipswich. I have to say, thank God I'm living these days in Charnwood, because our services are substantially better than those I enjoyed when I lived in my hometown. We not only charge a lot less, but we actually provide a much, much better service. Councillor Seaton pointed out quite correctly that no proposals had come forward from the opposition through the budget scrutiny process. That is the route for people to discuss and debate the budget. It's a great shame that nothing concrete came forward. Pointed out by Councillor Poland as well, who also quite rightly mentioned that our tax position has always been one of keeping tax low as far as possible. It is true, we are looking at 9 pence increase per week on Band D. I think it's worth pointing out that is actually a below inflation increase, as indeed are the increases being proposed in the HRA budget, as Councillor Draycott referenced. But both of those are actually below inflation increases. I have some good news in relation to the bridge. They are in fact going to be a new tenant of Charnwood Borough Council. They're actually moving into the Southfields building. We are accommodating them and supporting them. We are partners, we are strategic partners with the bridge, and we continue to be so. All of the organizations that we have as strategic partners continue to enjoy our support. They are a key partner to us, but they are also aware that our budget constraints mean that as partners, they also have to review how financially they work with us as well, and they accept that. But we are very pleased that the bridge will be moving into Southfields to work for our tenants directly. Councillor Meir, I think, had a couple of contradictions. He talked about wanting to increase services coming out of the pandemic, to actually increase spending, to get our budget higher, but he also didn't want to actually pay for it. He wanted spending to be lower, to not charge residents any increases. But if you're actually increasing budgets, somebody has to pay for it. And actually, that somebody is actually us. It's taxpayers, it's our residents, whether it's through services or whether it's through council tax or whether it's through national tax, it still has to be paid for. And we challenge all of you to come up with ideas as to how we can actually carry on providing the great services that we have in Charnwood for the amounts that we have to spend. Because that is our daily challenge, as Councillor Poland pointed out.
It's got 5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. But it's important that we recognise that the services that we provide are exceptional services, and we're very, very proud to do that. But we're also aware that to do it for the budgets that we have are challenging. But I know through Councillor Barclay and working with the officer team here at Charnwood and with all of the officers that we work with, to deliver those services takes real effort. And it's a team effort. Councillor Barclay, I'm incredibly proud of what you managed to do. But also with the officers under our chief exec being able to support our residents, particularly over the last 2 years, and to carry on delivering amazing services under extreme budget constraints. So with that, I'd like you to support this budget. It has been a real challenge to get to this point. We haven't heard any alternative proposals from the opposition, and whether that's through scrutiny or this evening, and I think it's important to understand through those challenging times, we continue to support our residents, we continue to support businesses in Charnwood, and we're very, very proud of our council. Thank you very much.
I call on Councillor Barclay to sum up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Tonight I present to you a sound budget which has been set and enabled us to achieve our corporate plan. It has been set after extensive scrutiny, and I thank the Budget Scrutiny Panel for their time and effort. The total budget expenditure is 17.8 million, with use of working balances being 189,000, which we're built up to our reserves are built up to enable us to cope with difficult situations. The budget contains savings of 1 million, two-thirds of which are a result of efficiencies and a third as a result of increased charges. I think we can all be justifiably very proud of the way in which Charnwood Borough Council has overcome immense challenges during the pandemic. The officers have shown great adaptability in meeting the crisis we were presented with, and we have dealt with it. We have continued to serve and support the residents of Charnwood, offer good value for money, with Charnwood remaining one of the lowest charging authorities out of the 181 district councils in the country. We are the 24th lowest taxing authority. Just worth reminding you that council tax will rise by 9p a week, or £4.61 per annum. So it's still going to be a very low tax authority. The Loughborough special rate will increase by £1.56 per annum, or 5p per week. The medium-term financial strategy, which projects forward to 23-24 and 24-25, shows the potential challenges we face. However, that's before we've actually addressed the challenges that are indicated. It's worth noting that we, over the last 10 years, the funding has reduced by 2 million, and we've still managed to maintain services. This council does have a track record in meeting financial challenges, and through previous careful management, our finances and our reserves remain adequate. Our past achievements allow us to be optimistic about creating future financial sustainability, but it almost goes without saying that hard work and judicious decision-making lies ahead. One of the reasons we have to increase council tax is because of inflation, contract costs, interest rates, are just among a few of the challenges that the Budget Scrutiny Panel recognise but doesn't want to actually cover. The housing revenue account is absolutely sound. It shows expenditure of 16.5 million, an income of 22 million net, after payment of interest 2.7 million. The balance at the end is 604,000, which equates to £110 per house, which is exactly what we targeted. There's also a financing fund, which we built up with 10 million on it to allow us to repay the debt that we took on. The housing stock has never been in a better condition. I have to say, all those years ago when we took it over, it was abysmal. We hadn't even got one star. Charnwood remains financially sound and able to continue our services to us, to our residents, and provide excellent services and continue to support them during difficult times. It's worth noting the services Charnwood provides for £135, which is about 10% of the total council tax bill. We look after 617 acres of open space, empty refuse and recycling bins, 4 million times a year, carry out hundreds of food safety checks, operate a number of car parks, operate 3 leisure centres, operate 2 business centres, and support emergency responses. I commend this sound budget to council and seek your support to enable us as a council to continue to serve the residents of Charnwood during 22-23 financial year. You can rightly and justifiably be very proud of Charnwood Council and what it has achieved and its officers, and we will continue to do that in the future, despite any challenges which we have overcome in the past. I commend this budget to you.
Okay, we're now moving on to the recorded vote. I'm now putting the motion to the vote and will ask the Chief Executive to call out the names of each councillor so that their vote can be recorded. Chief Exec.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll call out the name of each councillor. Can you please declare if you are for, against, or wish to abstain? I'm only calling out the names of the councillors in attendance at tonight's meeting. Councillor Richard Bailey.
For.
Councillor Paul Baines.
For.
Councillor Tom Barclay.
For.
Councillor Ian Bentley.
For.
Councillor Jenny Boker.
For.
Councillor Matthew Brooks.
For.
Councillor Roy Campsell.
For.
Councillor John Capleton.
For.
Councillor Mark Charles.
For.
Councillor Lee Harper Davis.
For.
Councillor Mary Draycott.
Against.
Councillor Sandy Forrest.
Against.
Councillor Hilary Fryer.
For.
Councillor Kat Goddard. Councillor Anne Gray.
Against.
Councillor Daniel Grimley.
For.
Councillor Leon Hadjo Nicolaou.
For.
Councillor Colin Hamilton.
Against.
Councillor Keith Harris.
Against.
Councillor Christine Harris.
Against.
Councillor Julian Howe.
For.
Councillor Paul Mercer.
For.
Councillor Jill Mear.
Against.
Councillor Jonathan Morgan.
For.
Councillor Paul Murphy. Councillor Ken Pacey.
For.
Councillor Andy Paling.
For.
Councillor Jeff Parsons.
For.
Councillor James Polan.
For.
Councillor Pauline Ranson.
For.
Councillor Shona Rattery.
For.
Councillor Roy Rollings.
For.
Councillor John Savage.
For.
Councillor Brenda Seaton.
For.
Councillor Richard Shepherd.
For.
Councillor Margaret Smidowitz. Councillor David Snart,
for.
Councillor Deborah Taylor,
for.
And Councillor Ian Williams.
For.
Okay, just be a minute while we total up the votes. Thank you.
The motion is carried. Okay, let's move on to item 6.2, capital strategy, treasury management strategy, annual investment strategy and minimum revenue provision policy, page 13. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item. Councillor Barclay.
Mr. Mayor, set out in the report, I move recommendation 1, 2 and 3 also set out in the report.
Councillor Fryer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I second this and reserve my right to speak.
If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Mear.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to say that we won't be supporting this capital strategy. Previous years we've abstained, but this year we thought, especially with what's happening, we'll be voting against this capital strategy. We'll talk about more about it in the next item as well. But one thing I wanted to note is this capital strategy comes to us historically quite late, because some of the things that he talks about and discusses are 6 months to 9 months out of date. I mean, look at interest rates. Interest rates are rocketing and sky high, and going to continue going increasing. So maybe it's probably not for here anymore, the capital strategy or the full report. It's maybe for a scrutiny committee for us to consider, because we can't react to this kind of policy that's 6 or 9 months out of date when we get to it. For example, it says interest rates will be 0. By now, it's increased by double, so it is not fit for purpose, I think. But going back to the strategy itself, so we've had a capital strategy, we've had a budget, sorry, I should say, where we've discussed the council tax and all the rest of it, and here we come back to the next one, telling us how much money we have and how good it's looking and how rosy everything seems to be in the council. But yet, in the previous one, we've increased council tax for residents and we've cut their services. So it's just hard to take when we're telling residents, actually, we're making so much money out of money that we've taken off you and off your businesses. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak? Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My first comment is the fact that there are three strategies and one policy put together tonight in this document, and it's very difficult when we only have a limited time to speak. With that in mind, I wish to comment about the box on page 33, commercial property. As we all know, the council owns four properties at a cost of £22.5 million. And the report shows gross rent for each year, £1,466,000. Just on that, I would have expected some inflation in the second and third year, but that's not what's in the document. The box itself then goes on to list the costs. MRP, £295,000. Interest costs, £113,000. Management costs, which I presume are salaries, £50,000. And contribution to reserves, £258,000. If you add all that up, it's £816,000. Off the £1 million, you are left with £650,000, which goes into the revenue budget. So as I work it out, it's costing us more to actually keep these four buildings than the income that's coming in. And I thought that was the aim at the February 2020 budget meeting, which was to save services being cut, or at least significantly mitigate cuts, which definitely has not happened this year. Another bit of maths is 22.5 million capital to recoup 650,000 per year would take 34 years, Mr. Mayor. So I seriously question how this strategy is playing out. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does anybody else wish to speak? In that case, I call on Councillor Barclay to sum up, please. Oh, sorry, Councillor Fryer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. I'm quite surprised that, in a way, but I'm very admirable of Councillor Draycott to give such a breakdown on our capital investment. I think it's very beholden on a council to invest in its community and in its residents. And at least we're not making a loss, but we are using buildings and doing things for all the residents of Charnwood. Sometimes I think the opposition forgets Charnwood is more than just Loughborough. And we're all very proud of Loughborough, and we're delighted to see how it's improving. But we mustn't forget the rest of us that support Loughborough from our areas outside the town. I'm not going to go back, as I have done for the last, well into double figures, of the opposition always voting against our budgets, voting against anything we do tonight without one scintilla of advice, ideas, or anything else. This, I think, is deplorable. There are very few of us in this chamber that were here in 2003, 2007, but those of us that were can very well remember it. And it was no thanks to the opposition, and at least give us something to work with. Not, we're not going to support it. But thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. And I support this wholeheartedly.
Well done. Anyone else? Okay, in that case, Councillor Barclay, could you please sum up?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll just point out, before I go on about the commercial investment strategy, this is a statutory requirement to have a capital strategy, including the treasury management strategy. And the opposition want to go against that and not have one, so they're going to vote against this. We have a very sound commercial portfolio. It is producing a substantial income to us. We also have 800,000 in reserve to cover any voids in the rent. And of course, at the end of the period, we still have the capital value of the assets that we have acquired. So I hope that gives some sort of comfort to Councillor Draycott. I'll return to what we're actually debating tonight, which is the strategy, which covers our cash flow, borrowing, investment limits, and parameters we operate within to make sure that we're not overborrowed and that our investments are prudent, get the best rate possible. Capital expenditure and governance is considered, financing of capital expenditure and any borrowing, treasury management of our investments with the assistance of Link Asset Services, and we monitor the institutes we invest in on a regular basis, on a daily basis. It covers commercial strategy, investment and non-finance. It also covers the access to knowledge and skill for staff. I just reiterate, it is a requirement that we have a capital and treasury management strategy, and this strategy shows our, this paper shows our strategy for 22-23. Now, if we go along with the Labour group, as a council, we will be in breach of the Chartered Institute of Public Finance Accounts and their statutory requirements. So I would urge you to vote for this tonight, and because it is a clear strategy, it's worked well for us, and we need one, and there's no alternative presented. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. Let's move on to the vote. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour, please? All those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Over to item 6.3, three-year new capital plan, 2022 to 2023 to 2024 to 2025. Page 82. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item, please. Councillor Barclay.
Mr. Mayor, for the reasons set out in the report, I move that the final three-year capital plan for 22-23 to 24-25 for the General Fund and HRA schemes in Appendix 1 of the report be endorsed.
Councillor Ransom.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. I would like to second this and reserve my right to speak. Thank you.
Okay, if any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Meir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I seem to be going around in circles. I think Councillor Fryer stood up and said we don't have any ideas. We're talking about the capital plan, but I remember a few budgets ago, maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago, we proposed that every council house that the council owned should have solar panels on them if it was deemed fit to do. And you guys voted against it. Imagine if all our council houses now had solar panels on them. One, we'll be saving electricity for our residents, you know, on their bills, and two, they'll be earning an income for the council, because I'm sure the levy was a lot higher then. But you rejected it. And I'm sure somewhere down the line, maybe in a couple of months' time, 6 months' time, they'll be coming to us with a proposal saying, actually, let's build a solar farm here, there, or somewhere else. Yeah, lagging behind as usual. Why do you reject good policies and never take them on? You know, it is. And that's why sometimes we don't propose those ideas, because it becomes political and partisan. I'd rather you came up with ideas that we can support some of them as well, but you don't seem to. But let's come back to this capital plan here. Well, why aren't we going to support it? Well, look out the window, look at Bedford Square. What a pig's ear you've made of that. February 2021, I think, we started digging it up, and it's still ongoing, and the cost of it has rocketed, and what we're looking at, £4 million spend in total. I think we'll have to send the council offices, we'll have to sell Lima's depot, we'll have to sell any assets we have to forward fund more future capital expenditure, and that's simply not on. Section 106 money, we've started now using that money. put into our capital plan to increase expenditure like we're thinking. But realistically, whatever we've done isn't good enough, and we're overshooting it. So I don't understand how Bedford Square has cost us nearly £4 million in expenditure. Yes, some of that has come from the town deal, but a lot of it, some of it, and over £1 million of it, has come from the council's own funding and its own capital plan, and I don't think that's acceptable. So looking forward to the expenditure in this capital plan as well. So we've got the HRA, Mr. Mayor. There's a big expenditure next year. I don't know how we're going to deliver that. We haven't even got the contractors in place to deliver on that HRA account. And I don't know if one of my colleagues is going to speak later about it. I don't want to steal their thunder. But then it drops the year after, and it drops considerably more the year after that on kitchens and bathrooms, essentials for our tenants. Can't support a capital plan that shows a reduction year on year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. Councillor Morgan.
Oh, good grief, Mr. Councillor Mayor, you talk rubbish. I mean, that was yet again, going back, recycling garbage.
If we actually went into the recycling garbage business,
we'd have made a fortune from every single speech you give. I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. I know you just say these things just because you want me to actually knock you around a bit afterwards for coming out with stuff that you know isn't true. And this has been explained to you before, and to be frank, all you're doing is insulting officers, which is really not on, absolutely not on. You've had this explained to you. To keep on coming out with this stuff is really insulting to our officer team here at Charnwood, and I won't have that. It's not fair. If you do it again, I will refer you to standards, because to be frank, you should be above this. Because telling lies in public is not on, and you know that. You know that. And I'm sorry, this is not a point
Mr.
of order.
Mr. Mayor, just point
not
of clarification.
No.
There's no such thing as
no,
point of clarification. You have to, you've said what you've said.
You've just said I've said lies. So, Mr. Mayor, all I said was Bedford Square.
If you could hold for a second, Councillor Mayor. Carry on, Councillor Morgan.
And I'm sorry, but there's no such thing in our constitution as point of clarification. You have to actually read the constitution to actually understand what you can say and what you can't say. But you can't do this. You can't carry on doing this in public sessions. It's not on. It's you're knocking our officers and the work they do, and that isn't fair, and it's not on. I won't have it.
Councillor Mayor, if you would like to make a point of clarification, you can, but that doesn't mean you can speak for 3 minutes.
Thank you. Point of clarification, Mr. Mayor. I only said Bedford Square has cost us nearly £4 million.
Yeah.
What part of that is a lie?
Does anyone else wish to speak? No, in that case...
Mr. Mayor.
Oh, sorry. Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I really think there should be a bit more respect in this meeting regarding members, even if they do have different views. First of all, I wish to comment on two matters in the report. First, town deal, where it mentions lanes and links. I was shocked to see in the budget consultation meeting with business and commerce minutes that a large amount of Section 106 monies from the Ormbury Gap development was going to be spent on this second highway project in the town centre. For those that do know, the Hastings ward, or part of it, has got 46% child poverty, the highest ASB in crime levels in Leicestershire, and in the top 10 depredation figures nationally. And I would think that any Section 106 monies should be spent in that ward, Mr. Mayor. And on that point, when it comes to large contracts, I really do think that it's about time that the contracts were written tighter in order to protect council tax money, Mr. Mayor. And at the very least, it should be 50-50 so that contractors share the risk as well as the taxpayer. My second comment is, as Councillor Mayor has hinted at, is regarding the HRA capital spend on improving properties and particularly disabled adaptations. The backlog for this work goes back before the pandemic, and actually before the previous contractor. So that backlog of work is considerable, and as most of us should know, disabled adaptations can make somebody's quality of life so much better for quite a simple thing. And the change to more than one contractor is so time consuming for officers, right? We'll be lucky at the end of this year, at the new financial year, if they have even got their act together and getting the disabled adaptations done, let alone the kitchens and bathrooms, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Councillor Dracott. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, in that case then I will call on Councillor Barclay to sum up. Councillor Barclay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to talk about the capital plan.
Councillor Ransom, sorry about that.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor. I know I'm a little bit insignificant, you know. You can't understand a word I say, so, you know, that's it. I thought our waiter was being very polite for change.
Okay.
What I would like to actually say, I think our fellows across the chambers should really comment, look at the laid down in front of them, pages 82 to 97, and I think it's quite explanatory that what the monies and what the perspective for the next 3 years is going to be. So I will be supporting this. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Ransom. Okay, can we finally have Councillor Barclay to sum up?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to talk about the capital plan because it is quite important. We only sell assets to invest in the capital plan where it is necessary and there's a justification for doing it. It is right that that money is used towards any new capital plan. Absolutely no problem at all with Section 106 money being used in a capital plan. The plan tonight covers live schemes, committed schemes and third party schemes which are run by the town and parish councils. We have a 9 million in the general fund capital plan over the next 3 years. However, that's before the substantial amounts which we carried forward from the existing capital plan after the year end. The HRA capital fund, we spend 23 million over 3 years. And this will ensure that the housing stock is kept in good repair and also enable us to service our £79 million worth of debt. The disabilities facilities grants we've got, we are putting it out there. We are encouraging people to come forward and take it up. This is a plan for the next 3 years. Again, yet again, there's no alternative put forward. There's no suggestions put forward. We completely veer off track from the subject matter. The capital plan for 21-22 has 15 million from the enterprise zone and 15 million for regeneration. So it is a sound capital plan, and as you know, we refresh it every other year, and there's no reason, you know, these ideas coming, you know, why don't, just ridiculous ideas, unfunded, with no proposition forward to put on a solar panel on 5,500 houses in the borough. Well, it's for the birds. I mean, what on earth is going on? These sort of wild things. Why do we just repave every road in the county? No funding, no idea, no touch, no, absolutely no touch with reality. I commend this plan to you, Mr. Mayor. It's the only plan we have. It's a good plan, and it's absolutely sound financially. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. I'm now putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Item 6.4, report of the Independent Remuneration Panel in respect of allowances paid to members of Charnwood Borough Council for 2022-2023, page 97. Councillor Morgan, could you please propose the item?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the reason set out in the report, I move the recommendation set out on pages 97 and 98 as reported in the report. Thank you.
Councillor Mayer.
I second this, Mr. Mayor, is that all right? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. Councillor Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to speak on point F on the recommendations. I just have some concerns about the removal of the ability to claim travel expenses in relation to council and committee meetings. I'm concerned that the change might affect the ability of members of the public to stand for election due to the lack of income to cover these costs. We need to have a diverse range of councillors representing our residents, and I believe this could be a blockage. I believe this is only a small saving that we're going to achieve, but could have a huge impact. It's also unfair for current members who live the furthest away from Loughborough, and particularly those councillors representing the outer edges of the borough. It will not affect those councillors living near to Loughborough and near to their offices. I hope this will be kept under review and revisited before the elections during 2023 to ensure that we're open to everybody from every income source to stand as a councillor and represent their residents.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. Does anybody else wish to? Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I share the concerns because, as a group, we opposed or put our objections in regarding the travel allowance being removed. As Loughborough councillors, I don't think any of us have ever claimed travel expense, right? Because we don't have far to go and we just take it out of our basic allowance. But if somebody lives a good distance away and they're on a low income, you're debarring that person from being active as a councillor. It doesn't encourage people, and we're coming up to elections in 23. We're looking for new candidates, and that will actually put some people off. So I think that's a shame that that's actually been being recommended for approval, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott. Does anybody else wish to comment? Okay, in that case then, I call on Councillor Morgan to sum up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have an independent remuneration panel for very good reason that it's something that the panel consider. I know Councillor Amir and I myself, we always submit often points that are actually put to us by members. We always feed that into the panel annually. And allow them to put their report together as an independent body to put back to us. Traditionally, we have always supported the independent remuneration panel's recommendations for the very good reason that it is an independent of us. But obviously, any points that anyone wishes to raise, whether it's through Councillor Meir or myself, we will always, on an annual basis, be able to put those to them for consideration, and obviously any points that they put back to this council, we can then actually support. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm now going to put the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour, please? Could I see those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried unanimously then. Item 6.5, appointment of external auditors, page 112. Councillor Parsons, please, can you propose the item?
Mr. Mayor, for the reasons set out in the report, I move recommendations 1 and 2 set out on page 112 of the report.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay.
I second this, Mr. Mayor, and reserve my right to speak.
Okay. Does anyone wish to speak? If so, please raise your hand. No. Okay, Councillor Barclay, do you want to? You've reserved your right. Do you want to speak?
I've nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. In that case, then, I call on Councillor Parsons to sum up, please.
Nothing further to add, Mr. Mayor.
Well, that was all very quick. Let's go to the voting then. Could I see all those in favour, please? Those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried. Item 7, call-in references. There are no call-in references. Item 8, position statements. None have been received. Item 9, motions on notice. There are no requests for motions on notice. Which brings us to item 10, questions on notice. As a reminder, the question submitted and the answer is in the supplements pack. I will call on the councillor who has indicated that they wish to ask a supplementary question. Supplementary questions must relate directly and exclusively to the questions submitted, and any other supplementary questions will not be permitted. The councillor will have 1 minute to ask their supplementary question, and the councillor responding will have another minute to respond. Item 10.1, garages. Councillor Snart, would you like to ask your supplementary question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I find the answer to my question disappointing, especially as there is no evidence in response to whether this is good practice or value for money by bringing these garages up to a letting standard when it's acknowledged that they are not suitable for modern day car use and likely to be used as storage. May I ask what cost-benefit analysis has taken place to justify using the council's limited financial resources so that these garages can be up to standard for letting, likely for storage purposes and not for the reasons intended? In my view, this should also include the benefits of using the land for affordable housing. This use was supported by the Woodhouse Neighbourhood Plan Group. May I also request that I have sight of the garage and parking review that has been carried out, so that I may understand more fully the reasons for taking this decision to bring these garages up to letting standard and not release the land for much needed affordable housing to meet local need without using greenfield sites. It seems other sites have been potential for this use.
Time up, I'm afraid.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Mercer, do you wish to respond?
I thought Councillor Poland was responding to this one, Mr. Mayor.
Who wants to respond? I'm not bothered who does, as long as I have one of you responding. Go ahead, Councillor Poland.
No worries at all. Thank you very much for your supplementary question, Councillor Snart, and I appreciate you giving us advance notice of it. I'll take it back to the relevant officers and come back to you in writing if that's okay.
Okay, thank you. Item 11, minute references. There are no minute references. So that brings us to item 12, urgent executive decisions exempted from calling on page 112. This is a report to inform the council of decisions which were exempted from calling in accordance with scrutiny committee procedure 11.9. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by raising your hand. Okay, in that case then, we'll move on to the next item. Item 13, delegation of executive functions, page 132. This is a report to inform council of a delegation of an executive function to the leader and deputy leader. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by raising your hand. Okay. On to item 14, appointments to committees, page 136. Councillor Mayor, can you propose the item, please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the reasons set out in the report, I move that the appointments to committees set out on page 136 of the report be endorsed.
Councillor Hamilton. Thank you. If any councillors would like to speak, please raise your hand. No? Okay. In that case then, speaker queue's closed. I call on Councillor Mayer to sum up. Okay. In that case, I'm putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? The motion is carried unanimously. Are there any other appointments? I'll take that as a no. So, thanks very much, everybody. We've come to the close of business, but I do have a few announcements, really. The next scheduled meeting of the council will be the 25th of April, but there is an extraordinary meeting of council on the 1st of March at 5:30 p.m. That will be a short event, so it won't last very long. Please note that as well as the annual council meeting, will be held on the 23rd of May 2022, and this change was agreed by council in September, but I wanted to remind you. Thank you very much, everybody, for your attention, and we'll see you next time.